I'm within range of the reconnaissance vessel, but I'm hit.
Nach dem Gespräch, dass wir also, nach dem Gespräch, das wir mit Dr. Ernst Fassbender geführt haben, der gerade Direktor ist, Country Director von einer, die eben die Mediensituation durch Projekte im Bereich Newspapers und Fernsehen und Ausbildung von Fotojournalisten verbessern, gibt es jetzt eben das Gespräch mit Fahimi Dushti, der Herausgeber ist von Kabul Weekly, dem wöchentlichen Nachrichtenmagazin in Kabul.
It was 13 years ago when I started to work as a journalist.
Yeah.
At the time, I have been following my study in Kabul University, law and political sciences.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Mujahideen government was established, the university was closed.
Yeah.
That's why I was looking to do something.
Yeah.
And I joined Kabul Week, the newspaper that I'm chief editor and owner now.
Oh.
I joined Kabul Weekly, then I worked as a journalist for 3 years.
Yeah.
With Kabul Weekly. Then the paper was closed because it wasn't likely for the president, Rabbani, former president Rabbani. He ordered to close the paper. Then Taliban came to Kabul, they captured Kabul, and we went to the north to Panjshir. There wasn't any resources to publishing newspaper or any kind of publication. That's why one of my friends who used to be cameraman of Commander Masood for 16 years, and another guy, an Afghan-American guy, was coming from America just to see Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We established a small documentary film production called Ariana Film. We have been working there for 6 years, and we have made 8 documentaries about the territories which wasn't under control of Taliban, about different issues, political, military, economical, social, different issues. Then in the time of attack against Commander Masood, I was present at the room, I wasn't filming, and I got some injuries. Then I went to by the help of reporters from Frontier, Reporters Without Borders, I went to France for hospitalized for treatment. And then with some friend of Aina, we have worked on the project of re-establishing Kabul Weekly. We made the project and we asked for some donation from UNDP. They have helped us at the beginning a little bit. And I came back to Afghanistan from France on 1st January 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And the first issue of second period of Kabul Weekly was published on 24th January 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, sprinting regularly every Wednesday. But of course, the number of pages and the circulation, as well as the content, was improved within 4 years. Now we are here.
Yeah. So, what is the meaning of free press now after the Taliban time for probably development of new culture, of new understanding of citizenship probably? In which way is Kabul Weekly?
Let me say that it's the first time, I mean after the failing of Taliban, it's the first time that we have free press in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
actually the history of press or media in Afghanistan is going back to 130 years ago. But within all this period, we did not have any free media, not publication, not radio, not. This is the first time. And of course, every first cannot be the best. We know our responsibilities, we can understand our responsibilities. We know that we are here to provide information for the people about different issues, social, cultural, sport, I don't know, political, military, all these things.
Yeah.
We know that. And our team in Kabul Weekly, we are very serious to provide something professionally, something close to the standard of the international standard. Of course, we cannot reach it soon. We have to work a lot. It will take time. It will need more, a lot of resources to do that. But this is our effort, to provide a clear and reliable information about different issues, including culture and art, and different things.
And Rose magazine, you are.
Rose magazine established it as a special magazine for women in 2002. I think, if I remember exactly, in March 2002.
Yes.
The owner is an Afghan lady who lived in France for a while, for 16, 18 years. She has been doing, she has done some other project like building schools, building courses, something like that. And so she is my friend, she is my close friend. And so at the beginning she asked me if we can do special magazine for women, because at the time there wasn't any publication for women, there wasn't any media, special media, kind of media for women. So I was too busy with my newspaper, with Kabul Weekly. I mean, I did not have a time to work for Rose magazine as well. I found some other journalist for my friend to work with her, establishing Rose magazine. Then they have been working for almost 2 years. After 2 years, the lady coming back to me and said, if you can take the responsibility for Rose magazine as well, because it's not as good as we want. Since almost more than 1 year, I'm doing I'm directing actually the Rose magazine. The chief editor of Rose magazine is a former colleague of us, former journalist of Kabul Weekly. Even she has been working with us at the time of Mujahideen government during the 93 to 96. Of course, I don't have more to work with them. I mean, I do not interfere on the professional stuff. I mean, on the professional issues. I'm directing. I'm taking care how can we have some advertising. How can we have? How can we improve the selling? How can we find new markets? How can we find new reporters from the country? Like, how can we get some reports from different provinces? So this is my responsibility in Rose magazine.
Yeah. And how would you describe in relation to the Rose magazine, the new role of a woman in an Afghan society?
At least during the last decade. Actually in whole our history, but at least until last decade, all the Afghans were suffering. They were suffering from the situation. But Afghan women were more suffering from this all these problems, because not only because the war, not only because they losing the family members, including husband or son or son-in-law or brother or father, because of very tight tradition of Afghans. You know that at the time of Taliban, even they were not able to go out from their room. So the education and work is something just, it was something just a dream at the time. Even before that, some of Afghan women who were living on some cities like Kabul or some other cities, Herat and Mazar-e-Sharif, they were able to go to school, to go to university, to work, mostly as a doctors and teachers. But generally, the situation was not good for them. Even now, it improved a little bit, but even now, the situation is not good as much as they need, as much as they want, as much as we want, actually. Of course, for this kind of woman society, we need to improve their skills on different and different
levels, areas, or
on different subjects. Of course.
Okay.
Meanwhile, on different levels.
Yes.
So one of the very helpful way to improve their skill is to have نشرات چی میگن جان این حالا بگو دیگه پابلیکیشن نمیخواییم بگوییم ما نشرات میخواییم بگوییم یعنی برودکاست خوب برای چیز میشه یعنی برودکاست نمیخواییم بگوییم میخواییم نشرات
پابلیکیشن چرا نمیخواییم
نمیخواییم نشرات چرا من نشرات پابلیکیشن میشه اخبار یا مجله یا چیز ها ما میخواییم بگوییم نشرات نشریات نی نشرات
تو کاست چه بودتی؟
What?
I hope you
He says he is looking to find a better word than publication.
And
you say?
Yeah, broadcast. Yeah, but also you don't like broadcast and publication.
Yeah.
You want to be learned for a good word or for a better word.
Editing.
I mean we have to provide some.
Commercializing maybe.
No, not commercializing. No. No. However, we need to provide them something that they can learn from, something that they can improve their skills. So Rose magazine is there for provide information, special information about women, for women. For example, there was 14 issues of Rose magazine. I cannot explain all of that, but for example, how Afghan women were starting to drive. First Afghan woman who start to drive. They're not much, but so we were the first publication which covered this issue.
Yeah.
Or one of the women recently, two 3 months ago, one of the women were stoned on Badakhshan.
Yeah.
So we were the first and only local media in Afghanistan who sent a journalist and photographer there and who made a story about.
Yeah.
Or so how is going the women's businesses? How is the situation of women in jails? What the women or ladies students are thinking about the current situation and about the future of Afghanistan?
Yeah.
So this kind of thing, as well as some something special for women, how to cook something how to cook, for example, the French dishes, or I don't know, American or Italian, or how to tailoring something, no? Or how to or some sport, or some sports. What can I say? Some sports courses. Not exactly courses. So sorry for my bad scale of English. I mean some lessons. Some sports lessons.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to cover with Rose Magazine different parts of women's life in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So we had the first interview of first Afghan woman candidate for presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was then there was more local and international media who came and interviewed this lady who is now the Minister of Women Affairs. But we were the first.
Yes.
We were the first. And now the parliament is going to be held. I mean the election, parliamentary
yeah.
election is going to be held.
Yeah.
And so we are making some reports about how women are taking part on this election.
Yeah.
How they want to join the parliament. What is the difficulties in front of them?
Should
in state of security, in state of I don't know, lack of, in state of economy problem. And, beside economy problem and security problem, how is other problems? What is other difficulties or obstacle in front of them? So we are going to find out that and to bring it out and to show it for other women.
Yeah.
That so this is the condition and these are the solutions.
Yeah.
Of course, we do not want to provide them our own point of views.
Mm.
We want to talk with the different women how they think about these issues. I mean, which solutions they suggest for going out from this condition. So this is.
Yeah. Okay. And as an editor from Kabul Weekly, what is your perspective now on this changing civil society 1 month before the election, the first election will come?
What are
the problems and what do you think, what is changing and what is on a good way?
If we talk about parliamentary election and how parliament will affect Afghanistan or Afghan, of course there are some positive points, there are some negative points as well. Positive points first. This is the first free parliamentary election in whole Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Which is a positive point. International community for first time helping Afghans to help this kind of election, this is a positive point. Afghan women are taking part of this for this election for first time, this is a positive point.
Yeah.
But there is some problems and some negative points. Problems, security problems, I don't know, logistical problems as UN in JMB announced they have a lack of money, $12-13 million.
Mm-hmm.
And in the logistics, there is no good growth in Afghanistan. I mean, it's very, very, very difficult to handling the polling boxes and the papers to the polling points. Even they have to use somehow donkeys to handling that. These are the problems. But the negative point. As far as we have a very, very tight distrusting in Afghanistan. I mean, nobody trusts nobody in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And everyone, every Afghan, yeah, I mean it's difficult to say, every Afghan is belong to his own ethnicity group more than all Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's right.
So this can be a big problem. Then the parliament fractions will be based on ethnicity, which is the most dangerous kind of fraction for our parliament.
Yeah.
From other hand, some war criminals, including communist war criminals, I mean, I don't know, Mujahideen war criminals, I don't know, Taliban war criminals, I don't know. So, different kind of war criminals have a chance to enter the parliament. In this can be a negative point.
Mm.
But, however, to have a parliament for Afghanistan is a winning point for Afghans.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have a parliament, which kind of parliament? The professional parliament, bad parliament, good parliament, mostly bad parliament, mostly good parliament, I don't know, mostly professional. But parliament itself, to have a parliament is a winning point for Afghans.
Yeah.
It will help Afghans to go on the way of democratization of Afghanistan and democratization of Afghanistan society and the government and the country. So.
And do you think how will be, because of so many candidates who are zugelassen, who are allowed to go to be candidates because of so many voices and things they needed to be elected and so on. So some are saying Karzai needs a very unpowerful opposition, and this is because of the system possible. And other and so the question is how will be there a powerful opposition possible in this?
I am agree with those people.
A powerful state, probably.
I am agree with those people. I think as well that President Karzai do not want to have a powerful parliament beside him.
Yeah, but why? Why not?
Why? Because he needs more power.
I don't know.
As he climbs, he needs power to stabilize Afghanistan. I mean, a powerful parliament, which will not be, I mean, a powerful opposition parliament for President Karzai can make a lot of difficulties. Mm-hmm. For example, if you want to issue a law, they will reject it. I mean, so that, as President Karzai claimed, he want to stabilize Afghanistan, and perhaps that's why he want to have. He never said that he want to weak parliament. No? He never said that he want to
have parliament.
Powerless parliament. But I think that he really want that. He really liked that. And the reason why I said so. This can be the reason. But if we can have a powerful opposition on the parliament, I don't think so. I think from all the members of parliament, 20-30% of the members can be real representative of Afghanistan. The rest will have a different kind of links. Ethnicity, I don't know, political, I don't know what and why, and so on. But if we can have 30% educated, intellectual people on the parliament, between other 70% who will be mostly warlords, uneducated people, businessmen, people who have power and money and this kind of thing. I think this 30% of educated people can be a first step for making a real parliament 5 years after.
However,
having parliament for us is a winning part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
The presidential election, no? It wasn't a clear, perfect election. But to have a first presidential election in whole history is something, lovely. The result was good or bad or in the middle, it's just something that. But for first time, Afghan were able to go and choose their president. To go and vote for someone they like, for someone they trust, for example. Or
yeah. Okay. Also, if there is no tribalism, do you think a new kind of Afghan citizenship could be something which rejects or refuses this kind of tribalism thinking?
I think the new generation. When I say new generation, I'm not an I'm talking about the people younger than me, because I belong to old generation. I belong to the time of war. I born actually I did not born, but I had six years old when war was started. I mean I grew up at war.
In the 80s. Yeah.
I mean I'm one of the generation. I mean one of the member of generation of war generation.
Yes.
I cannot trust this generation.
Yeah.
Because first they were not able to learn something, to do something else later. So most of them they are uneducated. They know how to shoot, how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But younger generation, I mean the new generation. I'm hopeful that they can change a lot of things in Afghanistan. But it doesn't mean that we want to change everything in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. So what do you?
They're dead. So we have a strong culture in Afghanistan. Afghan claimed that we have 5 years of history.
What do you mean?
Five thousand years of history.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a strong, we have a real strong culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have a real strong literature, which is the biggest archive of literature all around the world. So that's why we do not want to change everything.
Yeah, that's
what we want. I mean, what Afghans want is to classify the good and the bad.
Okay.
In our culture, in the importing culture, the culture which is coming from outside.
Yeah.
We want to classify the bad and good, in choosing of course the goods, putting together, making something new.
Yeah.
I mean the next generation. I mean the people who are under 50. I hope that they can do it. But it means that we need a long time.
That they are related to Afghanistan's past and use that as a source for the new Afghanistan, to know that they have a culture, not only the Taliban.
Of course, they do not. They don't have to forget about the past, even about the time of war.
Yes.
If we fought in Afghanistan, it was reasonable. It was reasonable war, at least for some part, if not for all the fighters. We start to fight against Russia. It was reasonable for us because they were invaded Afghanistan and we had to resist.
Hmm.
Then we had to fight against Pakistanis, Iranis, Uzbeks who wanted to interfere in Afghanistan and who had some partisans in Afghanistan. then we had to fight against the most dangerous military group around the world, which was international terrorism leading by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda in Mullah Omar and Talib. So that's why I said we don't have to forget. We don't have to lose these memories. Because we did something, good, not only for ourselves but for all the world. If the world is not good, sorry, when we damage the red forces, it wasn't only for Afghanistan. I mean, all the world were benefiting from that. So if we cooperate with international community to kick off or to shoot, let's say, to shoot Taliban and Al Qaeda from Afghanistan, it wasn't only for ourselves. Of course, we had this responsibility to keep Afghanistan for Afghanistan and for Afghanistan. But as well, it was affected other part of world as well. We don't have to forget about. I mean, the coming generation or the next generation must keep this memories and So proud is meaning when somebody is proud for something, no? I don't want to proud myself, but we have to keep that.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ja, das war ein Ausschnitt einer Autofahrt mit Spookme Zatran und Kamil Alisat, unserem Übersetzer und Arschmal. Wir sind heute dabei, eben über die Mediensituation in Afghanistan zu berichten im Kontext der Konstitution kultureller Öffentlichkeit. In Afghanistan jetzt gerade auch in der Zeit vor den Wahlen, denn Wahlen in Afghanistan werden auch wie hier am 18. September stattfinden. Und jetzt hatten wir gerade das Gespräch mit Fahimi Dushti, dem Herausgeber von Kabul Weekly. Und die Situation ist insofern problematisch, wie er es sozusagen auch benannt hatte, dass nicht klar ist, wie sich Karzai eine starke oder schwache Opposition vorstellen kann. Dies benennt auch Jochen Buchsteiner in dem Leitartikel vom 9.9.2005 in der Frankfurter Allgemeinen Zeitung. Und zwar sagt er auch, es sei ein eigentümliches Wahlrecht, das die Regierung in Kabul gegen die Mehrheit der internationalen Gemeinschaft eingeführt hat. Dies erschwert sozusagen die Parteienbildung und begünstigt die Unübersichtlichkeit. 3000 überwiegend unabhängige Kandidaten bewerben sich derzeit um 249 Mandate in Kabul. In Kabul gleicht der Wahlzettel einer Zeitung. Regierungsentscheidungen, die bald vom neuen Parlament gebilligt werden müssen, werden dadurch verzögert. Afghanistan aber darf, so meint er, bald für sich in Anspruch nehmen, eine der frauenfreundlichsten Volksvertretungen der Welt zu beherbergen. Nicht einmal Großbritannien hat einen so hohen Anteil an weiblichen Abgeordneten. Mag in internationalen Organisationen dies als Durchbruch betrachtet werden. Im Land der Burkas zählt die weibliche Quote zu den vielen Neueinführungen, die krummelnd als Zugeständnis an westliche Moden in Kauf genommen werden. Es ist nicht ausgeschlossen, dass sich am Ende auch die schönen neuen Institutionen als Torso entpuppen. Eine dieser vielen schönen neuen Institutionen, die wir dort angesehen haben, sind zum Beispiel ein Workshop, der gerade stattfindet, von der Deutschen Welle organisiert. Und zwar versucht man dort ein internationales Nachrichtenmagazin aufzubauen. Das heißt, ähnlich wie bei uns die Tagesschau, versucht man dort eben den Blick nach außen zu lenken, um von diesem Blick nach außen auch sozusagen andere Themen im Inneren des Landes zu etablieren, damit sich die Konflikte nicht nur um sich selber drehen, sondern auch durch diesen Blick nach außen sichtbar wird, dass nicht nur Afghanistan Probleme hat, die möglicherweise auf vielfältige Art gelöst werden. Wir hören jetzt zuerst Ausschnitte der Teilnehmenden dieser Workshops, die bei RTA angestellt sind und diese International News betreuen. Und dann ein Interview mit Wahuti Ferois, der vom BBC aus jetzt für die Deutsche Welle vor Ort diese Workshops durchführt.
Mark Orman de dorit la televiziune să som as seitor baitera fas că de dori acvar dar bach acvar cor mecanom va am chiar reportar astam مصاحبه گزارش سره از بیرون سات میکنیم میاریم در داخل بازی رو ایدت میکنیم و نشر میکنیم
Yeah, she says my name is Reba and I'm working in the news desk and my job is to collect the reports and also discussing about the reports and bringing that one in here and to broadcast it.
Yeah, and what is her expectation about what international news for Afghanistan
would be? یعنی توقعات شما چی قسم میشه که به حساب از یک خبر بینلمللی چی تو میتونه که از افغانستان باشه یعنی به نظر شما چی باید باشه؟
افغانستان رو میتونه مانند دیگه کشورها دارای اخبار بین المللی باشه مگر شرایط با که شرایط کشور ما مساعد باشه دیگه چیزایی که ما ضرورت داشته باشیم اونو به دسترس ما قرار بگیره و ما زیاد علاقه مند هستیم کوشش میکنیم تا اخبار بین المللی از طریق افغانستان از طریق رادیو تلویزیون افغانستان بنشر بس
It is said that Afghanistan, like the other countries, also would like to have the international news broadcast into the other world in here. But if you have got some facilities that right now we don't have that, so at that time we hope that we will be able to broadcast the international news from Afghanistan to outside the world.
And what is the situation for her now that she is working now in the media and... making TV.
به نظر شما شرایط فعلی که در شما در میدیا در تلویزیون کار میکنین به نظر شما شرایط فعلی یعنی تلویزیون چی است چرا خوب است
شرایط فعلی خوب است ما تا بعضی کمدیای که ما داریم دیگه یعنی نبودن ماش کافی است برای ما که هیچ کفایت زندگی ما رو نمیکنه و ما از همین آیا بسیار مشکل هستیم میخواییم ماشای ما زیاد شوه اگه ماشای ما زیاد نشه ما نمیتونیم دیگه خدر این کار زیاد رو در مازده کم کنیم
It is recently the situation is getting good, but the problem that we here we have, we do not have much facilities, and besides we have less income. So if our income from the government side goes a little bit increased, so we will be very interested to work with.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
اول شما نامتان میگین و بعد از اون چی چیزا شما را علاقمند ساخت که خبر بین‌المللی بگین.
I used to work for the BBC World Service, and as a journalist, my interest has always been in all the countries to travel and to see the culture and the people. But since I was living abroad for about 25 years, and there came an opportunity for me to visit Afghanistan with a job. I felt it would be a fantastic opportunity to come back because I was raised here until I was 5 and when I did have this opportunity I was absolutely delighted because it gave me a chance to see the country and also to continue with my profession as well.
And now you're working in this group to build up an international youth team. So what is the not effort what kind of skills do you have to train here to make new international news
well from what we've seen the radio television Afghanistan's journalists are capable of transmitting news and they have departments that are functioning but then of course every transmission and department that we have seen and analyzed we feel there's always improvements that can be made So I see it as sort of like assisting them to refine their programs, to make the programs more interesting for the viewer, more informative, and I find it's a wonderful challenge.
And you said it's very important to train the different journalists in being multi-skilling individuals. What kind of process is this to train journalists like this?
Well, it's a process where once we came here, we saw that the journalists or people who worked in their field only specialized in their field, and they were not so familiar with the other jobs. And the world has changed so much. Multi-skilling is very, very useful for Afghan journalists. It brings them to new frontiers and challenges them to, you know, get the best out of their technical and journalism abilities. On the other hand, it has other values as well, because where you have a department and sometimes the resources are under stress or pressure, then if you do have multi-skilled journalists, you could always feel sort of safe knowing that they could always cover for a colleague or two should the colleague be away from the department for one reason or another. And I feel the world has moved on, and journalism has a face that changes by the minute, and you have to keep up with it, and multi-skilling is something that's vital in the period that we live in at the moment, and it's useful for them, and once they are familiar with the concept, they themselves thrilled to learn some other skills, although that they specialize in one particular field, but it gives an appreciation of the jobs that the other workers or colleagues or teammates do.
And yeah, to come back to this question, what is the Afghanian team?
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe that the people work together, not as a group or as individuals? No. Then possibly that you work together as a team. What is this new for asking teams without
this
tribal identity?
Yes. Well, it's a fantastic opportunity for journalists to work together. I feel with the involvement of accumulating more and more knowledge and keeping up with the different news that comes in, at the same time you're getting information from the outside world, what this process is doing is opening up the door of appreciating and accepting other cultures. And by doing this, it makes them see the whole world in a different angle. And perhaps if you're specifically talking about tribal roots, maybe it gives it an opportunity for them to look back into where their roots are. Of course, be proud of where they're from, but at the same time be grateful and appreciative that there are some different tribes or ethnic peoples around Afghanistan that are just like them. They feel the same, they want the same happiness, they have the same goals, and it just makes it much more interesting to have an integrated department from different parts of Afghanistan where they can work together, and by doing this they can promote that unity when they're transmitting their programs, whether it's international news or internal news.
And to have international news, is this probably one step to show Afghanistan as something else, another kind of culture than this inner view into tribalism?
Well, I believe that international news is the most effective tool, without sounding disrespectful for the other departments in Afghanistan, simply because you're dealing with international affairs. International affairs naturally means that you have to go outside your borders in order to give information to the people for the viewer to see. And by giving information and showing different cultures and way of life of other people, I think this gives an opportunity for this country to slowly and surely accept other cultures and to see that we can live in harmony and that we do have similarities between cultures. And perhaps we do have the same goals, but not we don't always necessarily take the same road to reach our goals. And this is also, in my opinion, my personal opinion, a very significant medium that can sort of have a huge effect on tribal areas and the way that they think, because this country for many, many years has had a very sort of conservative, closed foreign policy, and people really didn't have the opportunity to sort of see the outside world. And if you don't see it for decades, then you tend to be scared of something that you don't know. And this is a typical characteristic of the human being. What you don't know, you tend to fear. And by opening those doors, the fear changes into acceptance.
If we look on international news, then we have always reports on wars and on accidents and all these catastrophes.
Yes.
What is the meaning of having these news in a traumatized society? People who have this war experience and experience always breakdowns have no experience of continuity or durability.
Yes, I mean, so sometimes a war is prolonged in your conscience and your mentality when it's already over. And if you don't allow for different information and different mediums to sort of come into your room and for you to, of course, see the evidence, then of course you'll always be swimming in that mentality. And as far as we know, the war is finished years ago, and of course we do have troubled areas, but generally there is peace in Afghanistan. And international news, we always, from our point of view, try and indicate to the viewer, mainly through training the journalists, it doesn't have to be necessarily rockets, bombs, guns and killings, because we have all sorts of subjects that affect our everyday lives, and we perhaps need to broaden our horizons and report on other things such as the economy, for example, the world oil prices. That's just as important as, for example, the nuclear program of Iran, because everybody, for example, depends on oil, and oil controls a huge segment of the world economy, and it's a chain, and that sort of news should be transmitted to the people so that they can appreciate and absorb that. That too has a huge effect on our lives. We should also have news with regards to the efforts that some organizations put in order to have more peace on Earth, and they have a huge impact on our lives. And it's those news that we try and encourage the journalists to broadcast that touches us inside and makes us think about that particular subject, and hopefully it's effective enough so that when the news is finished, our aim is for people to talk about that particular news item, whether they're with family or friends or they're outside speaking with somebody. And I think if we can achieve that, then we have achieved our goal of making effective news where people can talk about it, regardless whether it's bad news or good news. But, you know, that's the aim, to remind people of what's happened.
And do you see differences in the way people react on or be affected by several news about wars, probably, or situation? IRAC associated?
Well, I think as a country that has gone through a long period of conflict and it's just slowly sort of getting to recover, Iraq is, I mean, something that they can identify with, because this country has also seen war, carnage, destruction of the economy, many millions of people have died, so that they see a sort of resemblance to Iraq, and they can relate to the suffering that Iraq is currently experiencing. On the other hand, you know, the other news that we sort of encourage them to transmit gives a different touches a different nerve, and that's to give them hope, for example. And we like to have news that has a variety of sort of, how should I say, taste, and to give them. But war is something this country has seen, and they can relate to when we see conflicts around Europe, the world. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are not starting to cry or think if they
Well.
Are they reacting like this? No.
They're not very sensitive towards this. Of course, when a huge thing happens, it does raise eyebrows, and you know, people are stunned still with regards to the number of casualties and how many people have died. But again, 25 years, 30 years of conflicts and war has has hardened people.
Yeah.
As I was saying, 20, 25 years of war.
Das war zum Schluss das Gespräch mit Wahuti Ferui, der am Aufbau der internationalen Nachrichten in Afghanistan beteiligt ist. Vier Jahre nach dem Sturz des Taliban-Regimes, dem Afghanistan-Krieg 2001, ausgelöst durch den Anschlag am 11. September auf das World Trade Center, werden am 18. September Wahlen in Afghanistan stattfinden. Nun, Wirtschaftsminister Farhang fordert nun eine neue Afghanistan-Konferenz, weil der Wiederaufbauprozess weit hinter den Planungen zurückgeblieben ist und eigentlich und zu viele Hilfsgelder in die falsche Richtung gelaufen sind. Ein neuerlicher Zusammenbruch des Landes würde die gesamte Region eben wieder destabilisieren. Deshalb begleitet der Wirtschaftsminister die Parlamentswahlen, die für den 18. September angesetzt sind, mit gemischten Gefühlen. Aber er kann sehen oder hat jetzt bei einer Reise durch die Provinzen gesehen, dass die Menschen die Wahlen unbedingt wollen und auch zu den Urnen gehen werden. Das Parlament selbst werde es aber aller Voraussicht nach nicht selbst und sich